that song I just heard. That kind of grab really to this series. So we got sound issue here. All right. I'll try and not move around a lot. So, 1927. The USS S-4 was it was a submarine. And it accidentally was rammed by a Coast Guard destroyer off the coast of Cape Cod. And most of the crew was lost on impact. There were 6 known survivors on that. They were trapped in a torpedo room. And so rescue operations ensued. And there was complete power failure on the sub. And ultimately, the communication equipment, of course, was useless. Weather got severe, and then finally one of the officers on board started hammering on the hull of the ship in Morse code, "Is there hope?" And I believe that is a fundamental question in life. Is there hope? Is there hope? You know, is there hope in our lives today? I believe we ask this on a regular basis. You know, when you're sitting in a doctor's office and you're waiting for test results, is there hope? You know, when you're in the hospital and you're standing next to the bedside of someone that you love and care for, and you think, is there hope here? You know, maybe you're in a counselor's office and you've been going for marriage counseling for months and months, but things aren't getting better. And at some point, you wonder, is there hope? You know, sitting in court, you're facing tax issues or bankruptcy or some other issue. And you think, is there hope here? I believe governments and government officials throughout the world, there are places like Iraq and Myanmar, and they're going, is there hope? You know, we can go 40 days without food. We can go 3 days without water. But friends, I want to suggest to you, you cannot go a moment without a thing called hope. You know, hope's essential. And in fact, when you lose hope, life seems as though it's over. You know, we need hope to cope, someone said one time. Dr. Harold Wolf, he's a professor at Cornell University. He did a study on the effects of hope on the human body. And he studied more than 25,000 prisoners of war. And he found that there was one group that seemed to be able to quickly adjust. And they, in spite of the abuse, in spite of the brutality, the torture, they didn't show signs of PTSD, or they weren't overwhelmed with flashbacks and resentment. In fact, they were able to plug in rather rapidly and to begin moving forward in their life. And they found that the common denominator was an extraordinary high levels of hope. See, hope makes all the difference in the world. Hope is essential for handling the crisis of life. Hope makes it possible to bear burdens, to face difficulties and obstacles in life. The fact is, when hope's gone, we fall apart. I mean, we fall apart emotionally. We fall apart physically and ultimately spiritually in lives. We're starting the series more. And I want to say something right out of the gate here. God is more than a genie, you know, waiting to grant your wish. You know, I need this. I want this. I want that. God is more. God is more. God is more than, as I look at God and the relationship with God, I realize that as I know more about God, I want less of things, and I want more God, more. You know, culture dismisses God. know, kind of relegates God to the sidelines. And I believe that many of us would look and we realize that society needs God more than ever. You know, the more I desire in life, the more I pursue satisfaction in life, the more I need God. You know, for some of you, the more that you long for peace or joy or purpose or satisfaction in your life, I want to suggest to you, you need more God if you're going to find those things. See, God's far more than we can even begin to understand. And as we understand who God is, we realize we need God more as we pursue God. And I want you to catch this. As we pursue God, we experience more of the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised his followers. More God leads to more life. They're connected. In the next few weeks, that's what we're going to kind of unpack here, is we're going to learn a little bit more about God. And my hope and prayer is that as we grow, that we will grow to love and trust God more. All right? I mean, where do you find hope? Have you ever thought about this? Without hope, it's very difficult to bear things, to deal with things. We need hope, in fact, to even believe that God can change our situation, that God can meet our needs. Hope is so essential. I mean, it's that important. There's a crisis in our culture. You know, culture, and I'm generalizing here, but is struggling. Despair. Apathy. There's a sense of hopelessness when you look at things. And I believe part of the problem is some people have just given up on hope. You know, they've resigned themselves and they have chosen to live in despair. I believe other people have misplaced their hopes. They're pursuing the illusion of hope. You know, placing their hopes in things like psychics or some philosophy out there or some self-help approach that's going to give them hope in their life. Other people believe that hope, you know, hope's found in money or success or fame, and so that's what they pursue because that's going to give them hope. You know, some believe it's some fantastic experience in life or some acquisition. Some people believe technology is the hope of the future, that it will provide that hope that we want. And I want to tell you, any of those things inevitably will disappoint you. They will disappoint you. They'll leave you wanting. And in fact, I would suggest that false hope is even more discouraging in life. You know, if you look to the wrong things, it's more demoralizing. It's more devastating. So where do you turn? I mean, where do you turn for the kind of hope that can sustain you, that can get you through the tough times in life? Where do you find that? Well, the Bible says that the source of hope is God. The Apostle Paul, he writes this, he says, "May the God of what? Hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with," there it is again, "hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, hope is what we need. The more that you trust God, Scripture says, the more that you're going to experience joy and peace. The more you pursue God, you will overflow with hope. You know, some of you want hope, you got to pursue God. You know, the psalmist says this, it says, "For what have you done, I will always praise you. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good." I think that passage, I mean, what are you trying to unpack it? It's like, what's it mean? How do you hope in a name? And part of it, names don't mean as much today, you know. But names actually are very important. You know, the first time someone says, "Hey, we've got a new baby," what's the first question usually? What's their name? You know, would you name him? Would you name her? And so we look to names, but names don't mean as much today. I mean, some of you may have a family name. There's a big trend in makeup names today. You know, find a new spelling of a name. We're looking for something unique, you know, something novel. And so we kind of go for that. But in ancient culture, names were really important. In fact, parents would choose a name that was their hope for their child, what they hoped would happen in that child's life. And so when God revealed himself throughout history, God chose different names, the different Hebrew names to describe himself, names that described his character, names that described a promise to his people. And so today I want to unpack one of those names, the book of Ezekiel. God's introducing himself in Scripture, and he says, "I am Jehovah Shema." You know, I am the God that is always there. And so I want you to think about this. There is no place that God is not. There's no place that God is not. God's present. He's present in the past. He's present now. He's present in the future. He is present in good times. God's present in bad times. God's present in good places and evil places. God's present everywhere. If I believe that God is with me at all times, whether I feel like it or not, whether I sense it or not, it's something I can count on in life. It's something you can count on in life, that God is there. He's always there. It's an anchor in our life, and I believe that provides a little bit of hope, because there are lots of things you can't count on, right? There are lots of people you can't count on, and the fact is, you can count on God, but without God, not so much. See, God's with us no matter what happens, no matter where you are today, no matter what you're going through. You may feel alone, but God is there. Again, you may not feel it, you may not see it, but God's present. God's present. Here's a thought. You know, how many of you are planners? All right. Some of you are wanting to lift your spouse's other hand. Yes, they're planners, you know. And so we plan, we work, we labor, and you should plan. But how many of you have figured out you can't control the future? That's the hard one, isn't it? Scripture says this, says Isaiah writes, says, "Don't be afraid, God says, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Here's the good news. Regardless of what happens in your life, you are not alone. God is with you. God is for you. God is in the midst of whatever. And the fact is, God, when you understand that, it gives you hope, because without God, you know, you kind of look at culture where we've dismissed God. You know, we've rejected God. I don't find it very surprising that society has become more hopeless, because God gives you hope in your life. At some point, you have to decide whether you want more hopelessness or more God. See, some of you feel hopeless today, and I want to suggest that when you feel hopeless, that you need to pursue God more. You need God more in your life in those times. When the heat's on in my life, that is the first thing I realize. A lot of stuff has to go, and I've got to center myself with God. There are all kinds of uncertainties, and you hear it when people talk, when they say, "What if?" You ever say that? What if? You know, what if? What if my spouse leaves me? You know, what if my kids aren't there for me when I get old? You know, what if my parents aren't there when I need them? You know, what if I can't count on my friends? You know, what if the company relocates? You know, what if, what if, what if? The truth is, God will never leave you. You will always have what ifs in your life. I have stood at the gravesite with people, and I have seen fear in people's eyes. You know, people will say things many times like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And there is just the sense of hopelessness in those moments. The doubt, it's overwhelming. You know, I've heard the same thing from spouses when they've been deserted. I've heard it from people that have lost children, people that have lost jobs, people that aren't sure about the future and their health is going. And they will say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through this. You know, how am I going to get through? Friends can abandon you. People you love may get ill and change. They may die. People may separate themselves from you for a variety of reasons. And I understand it's painful. Been there, done that. But the one thing that you can hold on to in those moments, God will never leave you. God will never leave you. And the more I understand that, the more I have a reason for hope. You know, some of you today, you feel like there's no hope. You know, you feel like you can't make it another step. You're trying to move forward in your life, and it's very, very difficult. But friends, when God is with you, you can move forward. You can take the next step. You may not be able to know the next three steps, but you can take the next step. And even if you don't feel like God's with you, God is present and God is there. And that should breathe some hope. God says this, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. God says, I'll guide you. I will advise you. And I will watch over you. You and I don't know the future, right? We can't control the future. But God knows the future, and God can control the future. And so when I understand that, if you can come to terms with that, then if that same God is saying, I will guide you, I will advise you, I will watch over you, I think when I understand that, it gives me hope about tomorrow. Because God's got a handle on it. And at some point, when life is spinning out, and it will, the fact is, we get stuck sometimes. We get stuck. You know what we get stuck trying to do when something spins out? To figure out why. You know, why is this happening? And we need to find a reason for it. And when you can't find a reason for it, it leads to some hopelessness in that moment. Because why is this happening to me? But when I realize that I don't have to figure it out, and there are things that have happened in my life, I don't know if I'll ever figure it out in this lifetime. But it doesn't matter. I trust God. And when you trust God, because you go, well, why would you do that? Because I trust that God knows the future. And I trust that scripture that God will guide and God will advise and God will help me see what I need to see because he's watching over me. Lamentations says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What's the thing that gives him hope? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Some of you need to memorize that verse right there. You feel hopeless today? Memorize that verse. Store it in your heart and mind. Let it become part of you, because when you understand that God's love never ceases, no matter what you've done, God's love never ceases. His mercies, they know no end. It gives birth to hope. Hope every morning when you get up, God's in charge. God's got a plan. You know, every day, every moment, again and again and again in life, it's fresh hope. It's new hope. Some of you need that today. And I don't know about you, but I need that on a regular basis in my life. And there's another thing that gives hope, and that is understanding that not only is God with you, but God is working through you and in you. You know, no matter what happened, that thing that you're struggling with, good, bad, or ugly, God is working. God is always working. It's what we talked about in our last series a lot. You know, when you have a problem, when you have a challenge in your life, no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God is working. God has a purpose. God is doing something good in the midst, even of that bad situation in your life. God is doing something special. You know, even when I don't feel like it, even when I can't make sense of it, even when I don't understand it, God is working. You know, there's a verse, it's been a life verse for me, and it honestly has spoken to me many, many, many times in profound ways in my life, and it's like different parts of it will speak to me, but Romans says this: we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. I want you to notice what it does not say. It does not say all things work out the way I want. It doesn't say all things work out and you have a happy ending. The fact is, that's not true. Not all things in this world, on this earth, this side of eternity, work out the way that we want. Not every patient gets well. Not every couple's lives live happily ever after. Not every business decision makes you money. Not every child gets straight A's. Parents, did I get an amen to that? Not every problem gets resolved. The fact is, this world has problems. You know, what's it say? We know that all things work together for good. We know. We don't imagine. We don't wish it. It's not false hope. It's not positive thinking. It is certainty with confidence. Paul says, we know this. We know our hope is in God. God is working. God is working to make things come together for good. God has a plan. The fact is, it is not luck where you're at today. It is not fate. It is not karma. The fact is, you did not fall into the situation that you're in. God has a plan in the midst of it. You know, sure, we make mistakes. Sure, we some of you make more mistakes than others. But we make mistakes. God never makes a mistake. God has a plan in the midst of what you see as problems. All things work together for good. All things. What's that include? Everything. Everything. An illness. A divorce, an accident, a failure, losing a job, a stupid decision that you made. You name it, whatever that thing is that you want to name, God will use everything in your life to bring about something good in the midst of it. God will use that thing that you don't think he would use. God will use the things that you don't do. He will put them all together and bring about good. And I want you to notice that it says not all things are good, not that God causes everything, but that God will work and bring it about to something good. You know, things happen in this world. This world is fallen. It is broken severely. And because of sin, stuff happens. Some of the stuff we need to own because we bring it on ourselves, really bad decisions and stuff. There are other consequences in life because someone else made a decision. Someone else's sin, and because of what they did, it spills on us. But friends, in all things, God is working, trying to bring it together to that point where it's good. Now, it's a little bit like, it's kind of a simple illustration, but it's like baking a cake. You know, you got flour and you got raw eggs and oil and sugar and salt and a little vanilla maybe. Any one of those ingredients by itself, not really that good, is it? Maybe sugar, but I mean, have you ever tasted flour? I mean, give me some flour, you know, or a little oil. Those are not very appealing. But the right combination, you got something good. You know, I lost some of you now, right? Because you're like, oh, I'm going to bake a cake today, and what kind of cake do I want? And, you know, off you go. Hello, back here. Friends, God takes those things in your life, those things that are difficult to swallow, those things that are very bitter, and God uses them and brings them around and is mixing and making something good out of it. You know, people catch me, they'll catch me regularly after service, just about every week I'll have somebody. They'll catch me and say, you need to know what's going on in my life. And they will tell me about something awful that's happened. And at some point, oftentimes, they will get to that spot where they go, why? Why is this happening? And you know, if you've ever asked me that, most of the time, once in a while I can go, well, because you made a really dumb decision, or whatever. But most of the time I'll go, I don't know. But I can guarantee you that one day you will see, one day God will bring something good out of this terrible situation. I know that much. See, notice this hope is not for just anybody. It is for those who love God. God is working things together for those that love Him. Not for everybody. In fact, God doesn't work everything together for good. For those that have dismissed God, ignored God, many times nothing good comes out of those situations. The promise is for those that love God, that want a relationship with God, that are pursuing that, and they're trying to live, you know, making mistakes along the way, but trying to live according to God's purpose. Some of you are facing an impossible situation and you're just overwhelmed, and you ought to take this verse and embed it too. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, God has a plan in the midst of it. And you may think that the pain and that thing that you're struggling with today has no value, but I want to suggest to you, it has a lot of value. God will use it. God has a plan to use it in some way. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but you just, God says, you got to trust me. It is a good plan, and I am planning to give you hope and a future that you maybe can't even see right now. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are struggling, and you know it. And you know why. Because what's happened over time, you have got involved in more and more things. And the more things you've got involved in has resulted in less and less God. And so your hopelessness in that situation is much greater. In fact, some of you would stand today and say, you know what? I used to be closer to God. But you're struggling. And you realize the distance is great. And in fact, some of you have just lost your way. And so that hopelessness gets bigger and bigger and bigger in life. And I want to suggest God may be calling you back, calling you to that center where He's important, where you want more of God. Philippians, Paul writes this. He says, I am certain that God, who began good work within you, will continue his work until the final finish on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Paul says, I understand God is working, and I understand that you may have walked away and gotten sidetracked, but God has a plan. And you, if you're feeling helpless today and you got something that a problem that you're struggling with, my best advice to you is give it to God. And get more of God in your life. Give God the pieces. Give God the brokenness. You know why? Because God can take that stuff and bring about something good. It's what God does. What God starts, God finishes, ultimately. You know, I mean, how do you learn God's plan in the midst of it? You go, well, I don't see how God could use any of this. Well, best advice, start spending more time with God. Start spending more time in God's Word. Make sure you're here regularly worshiping. You know, spend more time praying and just talking to God. Say, God, I don't understand this. This is a mess. I'm struggling. I need hope. I need to see a future. Conversely, I can tell you the more time you spend listening to the news, surfing the web, the more time you spend in front of screens, absorbing social media, watching TV, the more hopeless you will feel in life. Guarantee you. See, you get to decide here. You know, that as culture has become more immersed in all this other stuff, we've become more depressed, we've become more hopeless, and become more powerless in our lives. And I want to suggest you are the only person that can turn the tide. You are the only person that can shift. You know, what are you going to spend more time on and with? Because when you spend more time with God, you realize God does care what's going on, that God is watching over you, that God is working, that God has a purpose, as God's Spirit speaks to you, as God's Word speaks to you. You find hope rises in those moments. Some of you need that hope. There's one more thing, I believe, that gives hope and gives strength in life, and that is this world's unbearable at times. And it can get the best of you. And you may feel like you're getting beaten. But this world's fleeting, friends. This is not the end. You need to remember, ultimately, the promise from God is eternity in heaven. You know, that someday, none of this will matter. You know, Paul writes, he says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. That's kind of a backhanded comment there. You know, Paul's saying that if you want more hope in your life, you need more God. And that if this hope is only for this life, if that's what we think, he goes, we don't get it. We ought to be pitied if we think that. Because there is more than the here and now. Says we hope because there is someplace eternal. You know, this is just the beginning. God is preparing a place for us at some point. It's what Jesus promised his followers. He said in John 14, 1 and 2, says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, I'm preparing a place for you. It's a place where there's no more fear, and there's no more pain, and there's no more problems, and there's no more sorrow, and there's no more conflict, and there's no wars and disagreements. The fact is, this isn't the end. It's the beginning. There is more. Way more. It's eternity in heaven. And friends, that breathes hope. Especially in those hopeless situations. In fact, I don't believe you can get that kind of hope anywhere else. You know, you can look at whatever pop psychology is out there. You can look at positive thinking. There is no song that's going to give you hope. There's no book other than the Bible. There's no therapy that you can go through that will give you the kind of hope that you have when you have more of God in your life. There's only one place you get that. That's a personal, real, living relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. Some of you feel hopeless. Well, friends, I want to suggest to you, maybe you've forgotten how much God cares about you. He knows everything that's going on in your life. Everything. Isaiah, God says this, "Since the day you were born, I've carried you along. I will be the same when you are old and gray, and I will take care of you. I created you." See, he wants you to get that. "I will carry you and always keep you safe. Can anyone compare with me? Is anyone my equal?" See, you may feel trapped. Maybe you feel trapped in a hopeless marriage. You've tried everything you can think of. You know, maybe you feel stuck in a hopeless job or career. You know, you just bounce around from here to there and it feels like you're on a treadmill. Some of you, you may feel like you're, health-wise, everything's just bottomed out, or you have a situation with your child or a grandchild and you're losing hope. You know, some of you, maybe that debt is so steep and deep that you've just quit trying. I mean, it just looks hopeless. Friends, when you feel hopeless and powerless and helpless, what do? One thing, you give it to God. You give it to God. First Peter writes this. He says, "Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercies, he has given us a new birth and a living hope." Living hope. This hope is living because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's a living hope. Because of Jesus Christ, it's a living hope. We can go from no hope to new hope, to living hope, to more and more and more and more hope. That's what he's saying. You know, this living hope is alive because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, he's more than able. If he could do that, he is more than able to raise a dead marriage. He's more than able to raise a dead career, a dead dream, a dead situation, because Jesus Christ walked out of the grave and God made that happen. There's a reason to hope. I mean, when you have that kind of hope, and I realize that God has that kind of power, that's a game changer of how you live. I want to close with this passage. Isaiah says, "But those who hope in the Lord," some versions say waiting. It is kind of those paired, hope and waiting. "Those who wait in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength." Some of you are tired today. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Some of you needed to hear that. Someone did this morning. See, hope is found in God. And friends, that hopeless situation, You got to give to God. You got to give to God. We're going to stand, have a word of prayer. We'll continue this. These are going to kind of build on each other through the next few weeks. God, we just praise you this morning. And God, I know there are some today that they got bad news this week. Some are facing some challenges that are new, that are overwhelming. There are others today that, God, you've brought them through a tough situation. And they're feeling your strength today. They're feeling renewed. God, I pray that they'd give testimony to those around them to realize just those words give encouragement. God, I pray that we would all just learn to trust you in the good times and the bad. Those times when we celebrate or we're broken. To know that you are there, God. I pray your Holy Spirit just whisper in some ears this morning. That let people know they're not alone. That you're in the midst of it. God, we praise you. We give you the glory with all we say and do. God's people said, let's continue with worship.